This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Start.
Hello, I'm Jim Mallard, host of The Mallard Report. On The Mallard Report, along with my guest, we will have a conversation where we will share thoughts and opinions. For more information, my bio, past shows, social media links, and so much more, visit mallard.com. MALLIARD.com. And thanks for listening. I want to welcome everybody to the program. Before we begin, I want to make sure everybody heads over to VeritiesApparel.com/Mallard. You get 10% off. Aaron was on a couple weeks ago. We talked about releasing a Mallard Report shirt in the spring. We're still talking about that because it's as fun as it sounds, Chuck. It's a lot of work to come up with a design for a T-shirt. My guest tonight is Chuck Banks, by the way. I guess I should formally introduce him before we start talking about these off-the-wall topics.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always neat, you know, these shirts. And, you know, I see so many beautiful women wearing your shirts. You know, I just kind of, you know, I get a little jealous, man.
So you announced book 8 today. So that tells me one of two things. You're either insane or talented. I'm not sure which yet. Jury's still out.
Well, you know, book 8's easy to write, you know, as well as book 3, because it's more my forte. You know, I'm a social studies teacher and instructor, secondary education here in Southeast Iowa. You know, I've taught government for years, you know, history. I'm a history major. I also have two master's degrees, one in secondary education, one in educational leadership and philosophy. And then also, I think they call it a specialist degree. I was getting my PhD, Jim, and I was like, oh, my God, this is killing me. I'm too old for this crap. So I just took the specialist degree, which basically means that I can do everything that a PhD person can, with the exception of, you know, maybe getting, you know, on full time at some of these, you know, bigger universities.
And we'll get back to educational leadership, because leadership is one of the things that I've found myself wanting to talk about more and more. But First, let's talk about give me some brief synopsis of these books, and then that way I want to sell a few books for you here tonight first, and then we can burn bridges later.
Oh, that'd be great. You know, it's always nice burning those bridges. Well, you know, anyway, the newest book that's coming out here in about, I want to say about 48 hours, is titled The American Dream Around the Dinner Table 2. And it's the basically the second edition of Around the Dinner Table, Religion and Politics, the Butthurt Saga. And basically, I tackle a plethora of, you know, political venues, stuff like that. The plutocracy that is in America. You know, I bring up a lot of these terms, and even in my class, Jim, you know, some of these students are like, what the hell are you talking about, Chuck? You know, or Mr. Banks or whatever. But, you know, I get into the baby boomer, you know, Generation X, the millennial, wooden spoon. You know, back when I was, I can remember plain as day, Jim, when I got in trouble, my mom smacked me over the rear end with that wooden spoon and it broke in half. So I talk a little bit about, you know, discipline, stuff like that. And I also tackle in the difference between a Democrat and a Republican, you know, kind of from this independent perspective, political issues, you know, politics, family tradition, because I have a lot of, you know, politicians in my family. And also tackle, you know, some of those steps like, you know, the Confederate flag, Starbucks, Agenda 21, religion, Trump. You know, I even bring in Trump, and I say, Mr. Trump, Iowans are not stupid. And that's, you know, one of my chapters in this new book. Talk about the election of 2016. Also, when I go all the way back, you know, when I first wrote the first book, I actually predicted that that Donald Trump would run against this lady called Hillary Clinton. And that proved out to be true. So some people might say, you know, I'm psychic. Who the heck knows? And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And then also I have a Butthurt Hall of Fame in the last chapter. And you know, there's a lot of names and concepts and things like that within it. So that's my newest book. I've also written I wrote a three-part series that I call Death to Saga. And Death to Saga and my Midwest Paranormal Road Trip books, Volume 1 and 2, are now going to be with Haunted Road Media with Mike Ricksecker. But those books, you know, they talk about a lot of, you know, experiences from coping with death to going back and forth. You know, this, you know, this young kid, you know, who became an adult that you know, basically went out of his way to learn about all these different religions of the world and different concepts and, you know, basically going in, you know, heads deep into the spiritualist movement and things like that. And then I wrote a book called Peering into the Void that came out here shortly before Christmas that talks about, you know, the dangers of the spiritualist movement and then me kind of making my way back to who I was, which is an Episcopalian, you know, Christian that, you know, sometimes it's just a crazy ride. And, you know, all of these books have given me, you know, a calm, you know, it gives me a venue. And you mentioned earlier, you know, you're either really very talented or you're crazy. Now, sometimes I would say some of the topics that I'm willing to explore in those books and laying it out all on the line, you know, some people might consider that a little bit crazy in many regards.
And well, you know, there's a lot there, Chuck. Jeez, oh, Pete. I don't even know where I want to go with this. First, I got to say hello to Mike. I've asked him a couple times to be on the show, but the problem is his show starts in a little bit, and we just haven't figured out how to figure this out.
So, man, you have to simulcast that show, man.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the difference in, he starts at 9:30 and goes later, and I start at 9 and go to 10, and, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes a... But we'll figure it out one of these days. One of us will convince the other to take a week off and just do it. I think that'd probably make it a lot less messier, but that's here and there. Good guy, though. I do enjoy watching his stuff go by as well. But the journey, as you're describing this, I can hear the different books and the different times in your life, and I've been around you long enough to know and watch some of this unfold. Of course, this is your first appearance on this show, but we're not going to talk about that.
and I have to throw this out there. You know, I'm extremely humbled, you know, by finally getting the chance to be on the Mallard Report and saying quack quack, you know, from center stage.
I was going to say I won't even think about how long I've known you, but you've hosted a show, and I've been on your show a couple times, two or three, yeah, more than I've returned a favor, obviously. So, but it's fun to watch because I was joking earlier today on Twitter about paranormal politics and paranormal politics, and sounds like a good country song, by the way. Anybody out there who wants to write a song,
And you know what, Jim? Play it backwards, and it might say, "Hey, go to church," you know, and follow the First Amendment.
It might, or it might say, "Nah." Anyways, we won't get into what it might say because it'll probably get us in trouble. But you, like I said, so back circling back around here again. You've been around this long enough, like I have. Is the field different now than it was when you first started, or do we see it differently?
I think there's a big mix. You know, I do think that we definitely see it a little bit differently. I mean, I can remember, you know, coming into the field of the paranormal, and you know, it was much like my first year teaching, Jim. You know, and I'm hearing these concepts like paranormal unity, and you know, hey, you know what? We're all gonna, you know, hold our hands, sing kumbaya, and share all that evidence. Well, how quickly have I learned that it is a dog eat dog, you know, platform, and it's tough. And you know, I'd say I'd say it's definitely shifted, but it shifts in droves. Wouldn't you say, like,
yeah,
like it depends on month to month, you know, who's going to be the flavor of the month, or, you know, the new group that's going to get out their t-shirts and their hats, or this new demonologist that you'll never hear from again.
I mean, there's been a lot of those too. A lot of business. Oh, man. We've kept Vista Print in business, I'm pretty sure. Paranormal.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, but you mentioned Paranormal Unity, and back when I started my show, I banged on that pretty hard, and then I have, you know, there was a big lull, and I haven't talked about it, and then you bring it back up painfully, and I lost a lot of friends over this one line right here, and I'm going to try it on you and see if you hang up on me.
Okay.
You never hear about used car dealer Unity.
No, that's because every dang used car salesman could be a politician.
Well, that's just it. And what's different about the paranormal people?
No, there's really no difference. You know, it basically, Paranormal Unity to me is you basically going around with your buddies or your colleagues that you trust and all that sort of stuff. But it's amazing again, Jim. Even the people that you spend a lot of quality time with and you're working hard with, and then all of a sudden, you know, this knife, you know, it just gouges your back. And yeah, I agree with you. You know, Paranormal Unity is something that will never, never, never happen. And you know what? You can take that to the bank, as my name is Chuck Banks.
Man, it's too bad you're not Cash Dollar. Yeah, never.
I know it, man.
I drove by a church one time, and the pastor's last name was Cash Dollar, and I'm like, man, that's just too perfect.
Yeah. It's like, hey, come on, Cash Dollar. Give them to me. You know, pay your tithe or your tithe or however you want to pronounce it, right?
Well, Germantown Runner's jumping straight to the meat. We're talking paranormal stuff. Look at that. Good grief. We'll get there, Germantown Runner. He's asking political stuff.
Oh, good stuff.
So we'll get there. We got to clear up the paranormal first, and then we'll get into politics. We've kind of started with the paranormal politics, so we'll work backwards. like I said, you've been around this, and you're kind of where I'm at, by the sounds of it. You're kind of walking beside it, but not necessarily trying to be in it or be the guy or be hip or know everything anymore.
You know, I've always been kind of the guy in the shadows, and I kind of prefer that. And I guess that goes, you know, goes to say, you know, the reason I was so doggone quiet was because, you know, me being a school teacher, me being an education, you look at the paranormal, you can view that as a little bit of, okay, that's a little bit risque, you know, when you're talking about your future in education or whatever. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they're like, how can I take you seriously as a teacher? How can I take you seriously as an author when you go from politics to the paranormal to the spirituality? Yeah, you know what I mean. It's just a mixed bag.
Well, would you prefer that you were a fundamentalist religious? I better not say that word.
Go ahead and say it, man.
No, I'm not going to say that word. I'll just say fundamentalist religious extremist. There we go.
Yeah, I would call myself in the paranormal much like I call myself in the political or the religious you know component. I would say that I'm a moderate in many regards, and the reason I am is because there are so many things on, you know, whether or not it's this ideology or that ideology that I tend to agree with. And That's probably why that I'm more of a moderate pretty much everything that I do.
You know, it always cracks me up how many people have become Catholic exorcists, mm-hmm, or demonologists, or and have never stepped foot in a Catholic church, let alone.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that's we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's just like, really, so.
Or it's like this, Jim. It's like this, okay? So you know, I'm a psychic medium. So I have a show, and I'm doing the readings, and you know, and then all of a sudden, the person in my show that's been watching me for months now all of a sudden has their own Facebook channel, and they're doing their own readings. It's kind of like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, we've all seen that. We've all had the spinoffs and the attempted hustle. Some people do it better than others, and that's fine. I'm not knocking anybody.
Mm-mm.
Bless their soul for trying. And if they have been, I mean, some of them have turned out pretty well. So,
sure.
You mentioned doing readings. I don't want one, so don't think I'm putting you on the spot. First and foremost,
sure.
But
oh, absolutely.
How? I know some people like doing them on the phone. I know some people like doing them in person. I know some people don't even want to talk to the person. They just want to, I guess, remote view for the lack of a better explanation at this point. Where do you fall in that spectrum?
I'm a little bit mixture. You know, I can do it. I prefer to do it either face-to-face, like on Skype, Facebook, or face-to-face in person. You know, and I don't know why that is. That's just me. And I'm one of those types, Jim, that I don't want to know anything. You know what I mean? When I'm doing this and I'm connected with spirit, I just want to go through it kind of with my eyes closed, you know, so to say. But I will say this, since my shift, you know, I'll say, you know, since my shift back to where, you know, to where I am today, I'm actually no longer charging to do any, you know what I mean, psychic mediumship readings. You know, that's something that, I kind of made a pact with, you know, when I turned back to God and Christ, and I think it's putting me into a better spectrum. It's definitely making me feel better.
I was going to say, that freedom of knowing that, because, I mean, there's got to be some, I mean, putting words in your mouth here for a second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm good at. So Chuck, I hired Chuck for a reading, and I, you know, all expecting somebody, you know, important to come through from my past. And, mm-hmm. and Chuck's sitting over there looking at me like, did he just sage that room before he called me? Because I don't see crap.
You know, it's one of those things. I go back to, I did an event at the Farrar Schoolhouse up around Des Moines, Iowa. And, you know, there were, you know, here comes William Conkle, and he introduces me as a closet medium. And then all of a sudden, 38 middle-aged, you know, the older females come up to me, and they're asking me questions, Jim. They're saying, hey, can you see my cousin's brother's uncle's aunt's fellas? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. This isn't quite the way it works. And, you know, there are times, you know, where I don't pick up anything. And you know what? I'm not afraid to tell folks that. And the biggest issue when you talk about psychic mediums or anybody like that, Jim, is when the people tell the folks what they want to hear. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things, and I don't agree with that.
Now, and unfortunately, well, it's been a couple of years ago now. I was talking to a lady because, you know, I'm the paranormal guy. You know, when I walk in a room, that's kind of how it goes. And she was telling me this. I'll say this. This wasn't her words. Horror mm-hmm. story about going to see a medium. And I'm like, well, and she's like, do you think was, you know, I said, so what do you say? And we went back and forth for a little bit. And I said, oh, I kind of feeling, can I just bear with me for a minute? And I said, he didn't go this route, did he? And I started basically pretending to cold read the person. Like, you've lost an important father, grandfather figure, worked hard, you know, and she's like, and you could just see the color draining from her face as I'm, you know, and I'm like, how, you know, I'm like, I'm sorry. Is that what he did? And she's like, yeah. And I said, well, don't go see him again, okay? Can you promise me that much?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. I said, probably too late to stop the payment on the check, but.
Oh, man. You know,
I told the people in the chat room that you were going to get me in trouble tonight. And look, we're not even 20 minutes in, and there's the first. Well, actually, I paused myself earlier because we were going to do that. I was going to go somewhere I shouldn't have.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm good about that. You know, it's just something that I have. I can pull out the best in everybody. How about that?
Chuck Banks ends my career here tonight. Stay tuned. Kat Ward from Paranormal Heart, waving hello, even though she's listening. But
I love Kat.
She'll probably watch this on Facebook later just because I told her I waved hello to her. When Chuck realized his gift, did he have migraines with bad weather? She's seeing a correlation between the two.
Oh, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when I was first opening up, Jim, I had no idea what the hell was going on. I was this middle-aged, you know, teacher and football coach, and I'm supposed to be this big, rough, and tough guy, and you know, and these spirits, they start to make their way, their merry way, you know, into my life. And yeah, I had some physical ailments. I do suffer from migraines, but mainly I believe that those, you know, most of the time are due to the, you know, kind of the weather changes or the jet stream or something like that. But, you know, could it be? It very well could be, but, you know, I am not only a psychic medium, but I'm also a skeptic, you know, in many regards when you look at whether it be the paranormal, whether it be history, whatever. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm a little bit closed-minded, you know what I mean, when some folks bring that stuff up.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard. Like, I mean, every once in a while I get a gut feeling, but it's been probably 6 months since I had any type of remote, you know, thing like that. And I know why, because my life has just been out of control the last year. And I kind of, you know, put all of that, I mean, it's not intentionally, but as you know, it takes a certain peace of mind to get anywhere, if anything, spiritually.
And oh, yeah.
Just hasn't been there. So it's not like I'm potentially saying, I don't want to talk to you. It's just a matter of, well, I don't want to talk to you, referring to people.
You know what? When I'm teaching and I'm coaching, if I could just deal with the kids or you know what? If I could just deal with the spirit world, you know, it go a little better, you know, at times. I don't know, man. it's a mixed bag.
So legendary Germantown runaround here, I'm sure you've heard his name since you listened to the show, wants me to ask you about Ouija boards.
Okay, Ouija boards, I own one? I own one, and I never use it. And I always caution, especially like my daughter and things like that, to not. But then again, Jim, I have a good friend, Karen Dahlman. You know, she...
Oh, don't mention her name. She's supposed to be back on the show. Don't mention her name.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Okay, but anyway, so you know, I'll
check.
This
is twice now that you've mentioned people I need to have on the show. This is great.
Name dropper. That's what I'm good at. And you know, Jim can pry this stuff out of my mouth and my soul. I'll just throw that out there. But you know, I believe that the Ouija board's really no different than an SB7, an EVP recorder. Or somebody trying to connect, you know, spiritually with the spirit. I mean, you have to, it's really about all about intent, grounding, and making sure you're not going to bring in some something you don't want to be around. You know, it's one of those things.
So you mentioned your children. This is a parent question because I have kids that kind of dealt with this. Did they ever see anything when they were little, or do they currently even? I guess let's start with back when they were little, though.
Oh, buddy. You know, my youngest and my oldest daughters, they can both see, they can both communicate. And, you know, what's interesting is my youngest, man, she can see it. She sees spirit, you know, just like we see a person or we see a thing. And, you know, she has that uncanny ability to do that. You know, what's interesting is the other night during the eclipse, the moon eclipse, What it's lunar eclipse. Okay, I'm a teacher, and I said moon eclipse. You know what? So some people will be saying, "Oh God, he's a Trump supporter." But no. And anyway, we caught on tape, Jim. This looks like energy, you know, coming around her friend that was actually up in her room that night. And yes, they both see a lot of stuff. It's really too early to tell if my grandson, you know, has these gifts. You know, with my daughter being stationed overseas, you know, I don't bring it up a lot. You know, it's one of those things.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, as we're grinding gears here, we've kind of talked paranormal politics. Paranormal, I guess that leads. Well, we'll get to actual politics here in a minute because I like pushing that off. We still got half a show, so we'll get there. Famous last words of the fool. But I mentioned this to you before, and I don't know if this is a time or place, but we're going to get into it for a few minutes because I think this will tie into politics as well. Smart host here. The depth, I'll say it, I'll be bold, the depth of volunteerism in America. Why? Why has this happened? It seems like all of a sudden, too.
Well, you know, I go back to kind of the beginning of my book, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this quote. And this quote is from Albert Einstein. If I can find the dang thing, what on earth did I do with it? There it is. Okay. Albert Einstein made this comment. I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interaction. The world will have a generation of idiots. And I truly believe, Jim, you know, although I love Google, I love my iPhone, I love all this technology. At the end of the day, it's technology, it's the video games, it's all that stuff that's kind of put us into that perspective. Now, that doesn't go without saying that there isn't another thing that's really caused an issue when we talk about this volunteerism and making our country, you know, what it should be. Number one, our youth have been desensitized to everything. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, violence. I mean, just 100%. It's almost, you know, and they see it all the time. They see it in cartoons. And you know what? We did too, you know, the Roadrunner.
Yeah, but the Roadrunner is a little different than what they're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're seeing sexual innuendos, these comments, you know, on cartoons, whatever. So they've been desensitized to pretty much everything, which has led, Jim, it's led to an overly sensitive population. And when you have an overly sensitive population, you're not going to get anything done because you are so split 50-50 down the middle. You know what? I'm not going to help that person because that person, you know, believes in this, that, and the other. Or I'm not going to help that person because they believe in the other side. And truly, truly, in order for us to really mature as a society and really move forward, we got to get past that crap. You know what I mean? We have to stop desensitizing our youth, and we have to stop being overly sensitive. I mean, let's have these conversations. You know, I don't care if you're a Cortez Democrat or a Bernie Sanders Democrat, or you're a Republican, you know, like a Bush Republican or something like that. We should be able to reach across, and you know what? And look at this little thing called the world. Because truly, what we want to do is we want to leave a good mark on the world and make it a better place than what we saw it or what we were created into. And you know, you just opened up a soapbox, brother. And well, you know,
that's kind of the point.
I'm so passionate with this. It's just one of those things. And you know, I also go back. Let me find this here. You know, my dad. Okay. He was a special breed. He was a man of few words, but man, when he said it, he was either kicking your ass or he was making you laugh. and there really wasn't anything in between. But really, it's about finding that proper role model. And basically, you know, our society needs to start opening books again and stop, you know, Googling everything, you know, to find the answer. And also to find your passion and to find your passion when it comes to whether it's our government, society, whatever.
I guess the problem is...
I knew that was coming.
Well, you said find your role model. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be one of your kids. My role model is, I don't know, Drew Brees.
Okay.
I mean, you see him on Sunday, and mm-hmm. that's it. But there's more to him. We all know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But for that 15, 16-year-old kid, Sunday is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
How do we change that?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, we as parents need to start parenting again. You know what I mean? I make jokes, you know, this show's around the dinner table, or not the show, but the books are around the dinner table. I mean, you look at how many two parent families do you have out there that are actually eating around the dinner table together each and every night? You know, I've been married to my wife Stephanie now for 22 and a half years.
Speaking of insane,
and she's a redhead, so I have to throw that out there too. And I know she's listening, so it's probably madder than hell. But anyway, you know. When you look at that, you look at that aspect. I mean, we don't even eat around the dinner table every night because we're so busy.
Yeah.
And the world has become so busy. And, you know, it's one of those things. And a little bit later, we can talk about the component where I think the world has become flat. it has become flat again. And at
wait,
that
wait. You're not saying the Earth is physically flat.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure before that got out there because.
Oh, that's good. But do you mean just roll with this flat Earth?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, bad pun. Go for it.
All right. So geographically speaking, we know the Earth is a sphere. It's not a ball. It's not flat. Whatever. Okay. So I have to throw that out there first, because some people take people's word as the gospel, and that's another issue. You know, that we can tackle a little bit later too. But the world has become flat. You know, as far as technology, as far as you know, people, you know, being able to you know see news instantaneously, it is flat. And you know what's scary is when you make the world flat. You look at China, India. They have more honor students than the United States has graduates every year. Every year, okay? Total graduates in the United States, total graduates, China and India, okay? Each one of those have more honor student graduates than we have total graduates. And it's important to look at that too, because in order for us to be successful, we also have to learn this this interpersonal relationship with you know globalization, which is something that you know we hear all the time, you know, whether it's on Reuters, CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC.
And the other thing is, okay, so I'll follow your flat Earth theory with the technology. saying okay, just making sure everybody's clear because I don't, you know, because yes, we have news accessible to us 24/7. Mm-hmm. But then this gets into, like I said, here comes the politics. We're draining the swamp, so to speak. We're going around it, but we'll get to it. Because of the need for 24/7 news and to be the first one to break the story. I mean, there's some of this going on right now with this those high school kids.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's sad, Jim, is I got pulled into that, you know, but before I saw the whole story. And, that, you know, it's something that I shake my head with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying though. But it's we need it. We need something now. Mm-hmm. Now and then. Okay, so we've posted about Trucks Bank's reaction to the high school kids. Now what? Now we need something else. Now we, you know, it's a machine that keeps going and going and going.
Well, there's just so much information out there, and we are okay. How do I put this without offending everybody on the planet? Or we are a knowledge starved society, but we are entertainment driven. How about that? I mean, at least I'm not going to make people mad.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason the Kardashians are so famous.
Oh gosh, yes, but you know the Kim's got a nice bosom, but we can't get into that.
No, but you know what you need to do? We'll clean this back up. I can't remember what it's called. This is always good. This is what gets me in trouble. I never remember what these documentaries are called.
Mm-hmm.
There's a documentary about their father, and his name eludes me at this moment.
Oh, okay.
Robert Kardashian.
Yeah.
And that is phenomenal. And it kind of lays the groundwork and explains how that all, like, how they popped because of what he, you know, put together.
Well, it's the O.J. Simpson trial, right?
Yep. But he was able to play that forward enough for them to, well, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. The fall, you know... As I always joke, I just want to take a wall and just start the string theory, but like with real life events.
Yeah.
And just start, you know, just like JFK and the moon landing and, you know, just around. I mean, I'm just to take a whole wall.
Well, you
start
push
pins in
you
it.
You would have to build three more walls.
Yeah. But it'd be pretty cool to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the wild things you hear about, you know, hoaxes and. Okay, so ready for this one, Mr. History Teacher. Why can't we get all the JFK files? I mean, if Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone,
mm-hmm.
let's just release them. What's there to hide? I mean, it happened 50 years ago.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I think I out of all the information that I've read, you know, on this this JFK assassination or the conspiracies thereof, I believe that it stated that once all the children, you know, pass on, that they were going to release every bit of it. Now, you know, this do you remember when Trump said he was going to release everything and everything was going to be good? And, you know, I do, however, agree that if there is a national security issue involved, then I don't think you can, you know, release everything. Does that make sense?
But if he acted alone, there's no national security issue.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, when we look at it, is it going to taint JFK's legacy? You know, is there any information?
No,
in there?
There's nothing that could taint his legacy unless he ordered himself killed.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be phenomenal information. We'd be talking about that on this show for weeks.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Bill Yonke, he was my professor at Graceland University. You know, when I graduated, it feels like forever ago. And you know, Dr. Yonke believed in the lone nut theory or the lone bullet. And the whole time, man, we would go round and round about, you know, why is this an issue or whatever. Now, was there any conspiracies prior to the JFK film in the 1980s? Can you remember?
I wasn't alive prior to the 1980s, Air Chuck.
Oh, good grief, man. I'm old. Oh, man.
So, I'll be honest with you. No.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be something in there, Jim. But, you know, when they brought up this term national security, I mean, what took place... What took place in the 60s that you could look at national security other than maybe somebody in the CIA accidentally killed him?
Yeah. Only thing I could think of is either the CIA, like you said, or Cuba, because they're still communists. I mean, the Russians have fell, so it wouldn't matter to any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I mean, we look at our government, we look at the structure, we look at the secrets involved. And, you know, I know that you've seen the movie, you know, the Book of Secrets, mm-hmm. you know, it, you know, and man, do you think there's really a Book of Secrets like that or like, you know, something like the Vatican underneath the Pentagon where there's all this information and all these, you know, ludicrous stories or these conspiracies could be put to bed just simply by releasing them?
I hope so. Just truly. But see, you know, as much, okay, so I'm here banging the release of JFK papers, right?
Yep.
But if we released all the JFK papers, all the Roswell stuff, you know, I could just go down the list of all those things that I want released, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Trump shows up at my house tomorrow with a file box full of all this stuff, right? We take the picture and he flies off. And now I have all the information I ever needed or ever wanted about any of these things that I talk about. Well, I'm out of business.
Yeah.
It's not good for business for me to be demanding we should get the truth.
Yeah, or so, you know, poor Jim got in a car wreck last week, you know.
Well, yeah, he had the big box with him, but he never got a chance to put it even out. Oh.
And the boxes are missing. Dang it.
So, I mean, but I at some level, I want to know these things just because. Even if it does, quote unquote, put me out of business.
Well, you're like that lady on the last Indiana Jones, right? Tell me everything, you know, until your eyes burn out, right?
Yeah, sure. I love asking people this question. This always gets me good.
Okay.
You can't get within what? Someone, I need to look this up so I know this because every time I go through this, I sound like an idiot because I never know this, the exact figures. But Area 51 is closed off and blacked out, and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you can drive like. Right by Fort Knox, like you could probably, you know, 100 yards away, you could hit with a golf ball.
Well, that's because didn't someone say that Fort Knox no longer has gold?
I'm game to find out. I need to go on a U.S. tour and just dispel these things. I mean, if there's gold there, I want to see it.
Absolutely, you know.
If there's nothing in Area 51, take me and show me.
Yeah, well,
again, here I am on this truth campaign that'll put me out of business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but you know, now there's probably an Area 51 and a half, an Area 52, an Area 55, an Area 58. I mean, we don't know.
Oh, there's no such thing as Area 50 anything anymore. It's like a project. rainbow and unicorn.
Oh yeah. Now I'm gonna turn the question on you here. And I love this one. Roswell, mm-hmm. fact or figure? Was it true? And was the, you know, when General Ramey the next day, you know, said it was a weather balloon, was that faked?
Well, I think it was part of the cover-up. I think too many people saw it or saw mm-hmm. something that wasn't a weather balloon for it to all just be a weather balloon.
And I agree with you. I've actually got that 1947 Roswell Daily Record hanging
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You don't pick up a weather balloon of a truck.
No. Or you don't have you know, people in masks and radioactive suits and whatever, you know, trying to clean that stuff up either.
Yeah, it just seemed like a bit much. But I mean, then again, who knows what they put in the balloon? I mean, there is a plausible out here. They were using weather balloons to drop nuclear bombs.
Or, you know, maybe there was anthrax in the balloons. We don't know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Or what is it, mustard gas? Or I mean, they were making all kinds of fun things back in the day.
Oh, man. And you know, I also read these articles on a daily basis, and it's starting to become more mainstream. And you find them on Fox News and CNN or whatever, and I'll share them on my Death the Final Frontier paranormal page, you know, where the aliens are running America. And I read this on the Pravda. Now, you have to understand that the Pravda, the Russian newspaper, is probably like the National Enquirer. But man, it just makes you think, you know, as iconic as this, you know, this contact thing or whatever it's taking place and, you know, keeping these secrets. I mean, come on, guys. But then again, Jim, do you think that the American people could handle the truth?
Oh, God, I hope so. How many would even pay attention if somebody came out and told them the truth?
Well.
Well.
Yeah. I can't argue that point.
I mean, and honestly, okay, so we drag out whichever political figure you want to put. I mean, current president, last president, next president. Shows up at the Rose Garden and says, hey guys, seriously, quiet down. We've got to talk about some things here. Really serious stuff. Aliens are real. Some of the gold's missing from, you know, and just right down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say something, I don't know, totally outlandish at the end. And you know what's going to lead? That horribly outlandish thing.
Like, yeah.
We should bring back stoning. If that was his last line and walked off, that'll be what's on 6 o'clock news. The president is pro-stoning.
Yes. And we're not talking about the Colorado or the Michigan stoning, folks. Yeah. We're talking about the biblical stoning.
So, you know, I mean, but that's just the news cycle, though. That'd be the quote that would get play. And there'd be us sitting there going, he said aliens were real. And everybody else would be like, yeah, let's throw some rocks at people for doing stupid stuff.
Yeah. You just brought up the movie that we're living today, and that's called Idiocracy. Do you remember watching that movie?
No, I don't. I thought we were living Groundhog Day, but okay.
I would recommend you watching Idiocracy. Now, don't watch it around your kids because there are some inappropriate things that could have an effect or whatever. But it really is a good show. It talks about how, you know, the intelligent folks out there, you know, they stop having kids, and the ones that want to get wild, they're having all the children. So anyway, I'm not saying we're living in an idiocracy now, but I'm saying that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, it's a quite viable option.
So let's throw this, the actual correct terminology on this, let's be fun, because I love this one. Is there, or will there be, or was there, well, there is now probably, a deep state?
I think the deep state's probably been alive and well since, Dwight David Eisenhower made his statement as he left office when he said, be careful of the industrial military complex. And I think the industrial military complex is the deep state, and that they have a considerable amount of control. You know, my book talks about Agenda 21, you know, the United Nations, you know, FEMA, that sort of stuff. So is there a deep state? I think there absolutely is. And I think it's probably, it probably goes deeper down the rabbit hole than we ever want to look.
And for those non-conspiracy people out there, let's be honest, there is a deep state. Because let's take it very face value for all those deniers out there. Okay, I'm elected president, and I just appointed Chuck my FBI director.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all those field agents and all of those, well, we mentioned Jim Fitzgerald, special operation people. Well, I mentioned him to Chuck off the air. But, you know, all those people that have been there for 10, 15, 20, you get the point, years. Well, they have their own value system of how things should be done. And they really, I mean, the top may change, and a few things may change. They might go from blue to black pens.
or $5,000 to $10,000 rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah, either way. I mean, they're, you know, but at the end of the day, they're like not necessarily apolitical, but they believe what they believe, and they've done their job, and they're doing it the right way they believe. That is more of a threat than who's sitting at the top.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you look at all this investigation, you know, and all this stuff, and you have to take it at face value. I mean, it appears that 90% of the news we're getting is, you know, has some sort of falsehood, you know, when it comes within it. Like for the other night, man, I nearly spit out my water when Fox News brings up the point to where, oh my God, Donald Trump is a Manchurian candidate. He's been put in office by Vladimir Putin or whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I just sit and shake my head, you know, at the amount of, you know, stuff that comes through. Now, if that turns out to be true, man, we've been duped as a society. But I don't think that that's the case necessarily.
As I say, does any one person in the world really have that much power to control anything?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, there are people, you know, that are posting videos here in the past week. And again, you have to take them for face value because we weren't there. We didn't experience it. But supposedly Secret Service, you know, operations are actually showing up at their doors for making threats to President Donald Trump.
As they should be, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, agree with his politics or not, that's a whole different issue. If you're going to be an idiot on social media, you deserve a knock on your door, period.
Absolutely. So do I think that, you know, there is some type of control and a deep state initiative there? I mean, there's definitely definitely a possibility. Now, I'm also willing to make the assertion that that our democracy, which is a republic, it's not a real democracy, it's a republic, has really shifted to more of a plutocratic agenda. You know, plutocracy meaning ruled by and for the wealthy. You know, if you look at the amount of influence that that the wealthy individuals in the United States have, and they have a ton. You know, you definitely have to look at that as an aspect as well. You know, and it's pretty easy for a deep state system to basically say, hey, you know, if you want to continue to have wealth, then you better do things a certain way. So you know, people can take that for face value or for what it's worth.
So, what should be done about the rash of fake news out there?
Oh my goodness! I mean, where do you start? Do you shut down all venues of social media? I don't know. You know, and I know you can't do that.
Well, you could. I mean, the big switch is out there for the whole internet, you know.
Sure. and folks, Al Gore did not invent the internet. I got to throw that out there. Okay,
Chuck did. That's okay. We know that.
That's a conspiracy. It's Chuck Banks and Jim Mallard. But you know, it's just interesting, man. When you look at it from that component, and you look at this the shutdown that they say is shut down, and they say that there's 800,000 people out of work. And they say that people are going to, you know, to food banks and doing all that sort of stuff. But then again, they're going to be paid back. And you hear about these stories of these people, Jim, that are going to be losing their houses and they're worried about their mortgages. I mean, is that a viable thing to throw up a false flag to put us in those situations? So you know, different dealings are going on. You know what I mean, behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
The whole thing is just troubling to me personally, but that's here or there. Okay. And what we should do about fake news is people should stop talking about it and stop watching it and it go away. But what do I know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a cancer on our system.
Because, you know, you retweet that CNN article or Fox News or whichever one you believe is the fake one. Of course, I believe they're all opinion and none of them are real, but that's a full can of worms right there, I'm sure. But if you don't like it, don't give it life, because when somebody else sees it, they don't read your commentary. They're like, oh, hey, look, CNN just posted two puppies kissing. Oh, isn't that cute?
No, Jim, they weren't kissing. They were biting each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to see that aspect.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've got 10 minutes left, and I did promise we kind of were politics, but this one is really special. This is the home dinger. As my listeners know, I do like to do predictions in November, so this is kind of bold because this is way out there. But you're mm-hmm. in Iowa, so, I mean, you do have some experience with going out with the early birds here. Mm-hmm. Democratic 2020.
Okay, Democratic 2020 in Iowa, I really see, you know, obviously we're going to see 25 to 30 viable Democratic candidates, and I'll say that's going to happen. I really see, a Beto, you know, the guy that ran against Ted Cruz in Texas. I see Beto as being a real viable contender and someone that could win the Iowa caucus system.
But that's cute, Iowa. Don't take this the wrong way.
Hey, we're first, dang it.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but don't take this the wrong way. That is cute. But at the end of the day, who is going to be the man or woman standing on the big stage with all the confetti, winning the Democratic nomination?
The Democratic nomination? I kind of see Joe Biden if he runs.
Really?
Yeah, I can see Joe Biden taking over, taking control, and definitely, you know, having that ability. However, as a person that we need some younger folks in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say none of these. I mean, the people I was looking at, I'm like, yikes! Especially being, I mean, I'm not a young person anymore. Well, middle age, I'm getting there. But these people that are, you know, twice my age kind of scare me.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth Warren, you know, she was in Iowa here, you know, I want to say about a week and a half ago, and you know, she was, you know, things went over pretty well for her in our state, but I don't think that she has, you know, that appeal. I do believe that that Clinton's not going to let you know things go to side, but I feel that somebody like Beto O'Rourke, man, Beto O'Rourke could. If Biden decides not to run, I believe that somebody like Beto O'Rourke could turn some heads. And you know, there were a lot of people that called me a little crazy when I said a guy by the name of Barack Obama, you know, might have an opportunity to win a, you know, post Iowa. So who knows?
So I'm going to ask you this question first before I ask the second one, because the second one's more interesting, but this first one's important. Can Biden beat Trump?
I think Biden can beat Trump. And I think he will beat Trump if he runs. Looking at, you know, somebody like Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, I do not believe that they have the capabilities to beat Trump. And I say that, you know, in a pretty unbiased, manner.
So this brings me to my fun part here. Can the Democrat, bear with me, these next two questions are doozies. Can the Democrats out-Trump Trump and go out and get themselves somebody non-political and just the exact opposite?
Well, you know, that's something that scares me a little bit because, you know, we all know that, you know, that those particular things can happen. I mean, we've all heard, you know, Oprah Winfrey, you know, throwing her hat, you know, perhaps in this realm that we call the Democratic side of things. I don't know why I can't remember the mayor of New York. You know, the former mayor of New York. Remember the billionaire?
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, yeah. You know, somebody like a Bloomberg. You know, if he were to go to the Democratic side of things, I could see him, you know, perhaps being able to make that nudge.
going to need some help here, and we're running out of time, but I'm sure we'll figure this out. I have said before that the two political parties have got themselves so stretched thin, they're going to end up splitting into four parties. Maybe I'm just a dreamer, but I just love the chaos theory of all that. But having said that, I don't think it's going to happen before 2020. But so that brings me back. I'm retracting a little bit. So I can't get to four parties without getting to three first. And there's been a number of third party candidates. Even Ben Johnson last time started inching in on that.
Kind of that libertarian aspect, right?
Yeah. Is there a candidate for that arena that could seriously cause trouble?
Well, I don't know whether there is a third party candidate out there that can take enough votes, you know, to swing things. You know, kind of like, I remember way back when. You remember when Ross Perot ran?
I do.
Okay, you know, Ross Perot took enough votes from HW, for Clinton to win that election. And, you know, gosh, man, my brain, you know, I know this stuff, but I don't know why that I can't remember the name. But there was another millionaire that ran, I believe, from California, that that took some votes away. Do I think that there's any out there? I haven't seen any to this point, other than, you know, who knows? Maybe a Bloomberg. Who knows? Maybe even Mark Cuban runs as an independent and takes votes away. Could happen.
Well, I think if you get the right, like Cuban, we'll use him for this example. Mark, come on the show and tell me I'm wrong. I don't think that's going to work.
Come on, Mark.
Mr. Cuban, please take a break from Shark Tank and come on the show. but if you could get somebody center enough, kind of really, really like Switzerland almost, really neutral, who just kind of, you know, says, doesn't go too far left or too far right, just kind of wants to regain footing and, you know, take a break from all the rhetoric. If they're well-spoken oral, you know, speaking well and, you know what I'm saying, look the part, that could drive, you know, because as we know, we're getting to the far edges of both parties. So if somebody comes in the middle and captures the imagination, kind of like you were mentioning Obama, I'm not saying Democratic, I'm saying third party here.
Sure.
I mean, stranger things will happen.
What about the, you know, the former senator from Arizona, Jeff Flake?
Somewhere. And you know? I guess even if Bernie left the Democratic Party and kind of came, could fit somewhere in there too.
Absolutely. Of
course, as we were talking, a little bit younger blood, but nevertheless. we've talked about millennials. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If somebody, well, I guess you have to be 35, so I guess I could throw my hat in the ring, but I'm not going to. My exploratory committee will meet later. why am I having, but somebody, you know, of that, this generation, younger, hipper, you know, understood Facebook and social media. There's a possibility out there. Somebody we don't even know, who doesn't have necessarily the billions, or excuse me, millions of dollars to pour into a campaign, but somebody that gains a little traction just by doing Facebook Live or, you know, Periscope or YouTube or wherever they want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Because I mean, Trump has been tweeting a lot, but I think somebody could get out there and even do more than that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, somebody that's listening to the Mallard Report tonight is going to run for president, and they're going to hashtag on their Twitter, you know, Chuck Banks and Jim Mallard gave me this idea, and, you know, here we go.
Hey, as long I don't want credit now, I just want to come check out the White House. And then we could do the whistle stop, and we could, you know.
Hey, you know, and when I come, please don't serve me, I don't know, those double cheeseburgers from McDonald's. Don't do that to me.
I prefer Burger King with us here and there. Chuck, where can people find you before? Because we've got a minute left.
I got you. Okay, so I want to make sure that I get the right thing here. So I got to bring up my Twitter and stuff. You can follow me, Charles Anthony, on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. I want to make sure that I give you the right handle here. It's at ParaXD the show, or ParaExD. The show. And you can email me, and I got to give you my non-school email, and it's pointofascension1972@gmail.com. And you know what? Follow me. I'll follow you back. As long as you aren't one of those heartless trolls or whatever. And, folks, I will not be running for president of the United States. I'm just throwing that out there right away.
Before we run out of time real quick, he'll be my vice president. We're going to take the White House back. Thanks, Chuck.
We're going to make America independent again. How about that?
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, buddy.
The views and opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the host and participants. For past shows, social media links, and so much more, visit Mallard.com, MALLIARD.com. And thanks for listening.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.